That is the sound of a Heineken beer glass being filled by 6 o'clock Indian tonic water. And 6 o'clock Indian tonic water is made by Bramley and Gage from the UK. And with me is Michael Caine. Michael, you're the managing director?
Hi, Roger, that's right. I'm managing director of Bramley and Gage, and we make 6 o'clock gin and 6 o'clock tonic. 6 o'clock gin and tonic are the first time that a brand has developed a flavour profile of tonic to match the gin. And we make our own gin, 6 o'clock gin.
Now, and this is why I wanted to talk to you, because you were telling me all these fantastic things about how to make a proper gin and tonic, but more importantly, that you need to marry the gin that you have with a proper tonic that suits it, rather than just having any old tonic. There is actually a marriage there, isn't there?
Absolutely. Gin distillers put a lot of effort into getting the flavour profile of their gins right, unique and special. And they use the botanicals to do that, and the way that botanicals are distilled to achieve that. So the temperatures, the time, the maturation, the sourcing of botanicals. You know, it takes a long time for all that skill and experience to create a quality gin, and a London gin as ours is. And when you do that, the reason they do that is that when you're tasting the gin, you can taste those different characters. If you ask a gin distiller you know, how they know when their still is working and how they do it by smell very often, but they also do it by taste, and they'll mix gin with water to help release the flavours, just like you would with a whiskey. So a gin distiller is tasting his gin with water in order to get that flavour profile so perfect. So, you know, when they're putting sort of 5, 6, 10 botanicals in, getting the balance ratios is hard. And the best way to do that is with water. However, we all love a gin and tonic, or a martini, but a gin and tonic. Most gin is drunk with tonic. And if you've just spent €30, €35 on a lovely premium gin, just mixing it with the same old tonic that you always use will make it taste of that tonic.
So the solution then is to get a tonic that fits with the gin. But how do you go about doing that? I mean, in your particular case, you have a novel solution. You've created your own gin. Your own tonic.
I created my own gin and my own tonic. You're absolutely right. There are some great tonics out there and some great gins. And most manufacturers will tell you, oh, well, my gin tastes great, but you could use this tonic or anybody else's. Or we make a very nice tonic. It's good with any gin. And they're trying to push their own flavour profiles onto you, onto the product. And so you can have a gin that you thought was nice that actually doesn't taste quite how you remember it. Likewise, you can spend a lot more for a lovely tonic that's not as fizzy or not as fresh as you remember it. And the reason is that, you know, they are different products, they have different ingredients, they interact in different ways. And so I love gin and tonic, and I know that a lot of potential customers love gin and tonic, but they also want that repeatability, that guarantee that when they go for it, it's going to be correct. You go for your favourite brand and gin, not quite as good as you remember last time, or like that tonic, I'll have that tonic again, still not a great gin and tonic. So, and the answer is, get those marriages right. And we made that easy. I developed a tonic whose flavour profile matches a gin. In our gin, there are a few botanicals, of which orange peel and elderflower are in there. And in our tonic, instead of using lemongrass, we use lemon and lime juice. That combines with the orange and the natural citrusness, if that's a word, of juniper to give a real balanced, fresh, clean, lively gin and tonic.
I'm looking forward to, because you kindly gave me a bottle of both, and it's I'm going to be enjoying it later on. Now, I have to ask you this question, because what is the perfect gin and tonic? How do we make the perfect gin and tonic? Everybody listening is going, we have an expert here. Tell us how to make the perfect gin and tonic.
So the Spanish, who are the biggest gin drinkers in the world in terms of market size, do it very well. And the answer is to have a lot of ice. You start off with a lot of ice. And that's important for a number of reasons. Also, the temperature of the ice is very important, because water freezes at zero, but it can be minus 18 or minus 5, the ice, it's still ice. Well, the answer is you want it as cold as the freezer will go. And the reasons for that are that the carbonation of a liquid varies with temperature, and its ability to hold that is also guided by temperature. So the colder it is, the more carbon dioxide stays in your drink, the fizzier your drink is. Number two, there are a number of aromatic oils within the gin which are released when it warms up. Some people will keep their gin in the freezer, and if you then let it warm up in your mouth, they're released into your nasal cavity and into your mouth much easier than if they've already got in the glass before you started. And number three, you want lots of ice, not because you want your drink watered down, but the absolute reverse. You should be finishing your gin and tonic with all the ice still in the glass. That way you get a cold drink and a unique drink all the way down to the end. So when you want a perfect gin and tonic, fill the glass with ice, slice of lemon or lime if you prefer, pour gin first, sprinkle the tonic. You can dribble it over the edge if you want to try and reduce bubble squirt and increase carbonation, but it doesn't matter that much. Our tonic's about quite fizzy. Give it a gentle twist and maybe run a peel of orange around the outside of glass or lemon. Serve. Delicious.
I can't wait to try this later on. Is there a particular measure of gin to tonic that you recommend, or is it purely a question of taste, personal taste?
It's absolutely a question of personal taste. Everybody who makes gin and tonic makes it their own way. I like 2-to-1. That's 2 gin to 1 tonic. No, I'm joking. About 2 tonic to 1 gin.
There's that very famous story of somebody who was involved in the Manhattan Project, and they loved their dry martinis. But they really, really, really preferred that the gin was dominant, so much so that the story goes that a bottle of vermouth was planted in one of the atomic bombs, because by exploding the bottle in an atomic explosion, there will always be a molecule of vermouth in the air. And the story goes, as far as I remember, is that he would always walk into a bar and say, I'd like a dry martini, and I want four measures gin, and just wave the glass out the window, because that one molecule of vermouth will be captured. Michael, where can people find out about you? Where can we go online and learn more about you?
Well, go to your favourite search engine and type 6 o'clock gin. It will find us somehow, whether it's on Facebook or Twitter, on our website or any of the online stores, both here and in Spain. That's the easiest way. And I could give the website www.bramleyengage.com or 6clockgin.com. That's SIXOCLOCK. But, you know, just go to search engines, the easiest way.
Well, I can't wait for 6 o'clock to roll on, so I have an excuse to try this exquisite tonic and this exquisite gin. Michael, thank you very much.
Cheers.